It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio, a look at the growing marijuana industry in Alaska, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And now, The Buzz.
Welcome, Alaska, to The Buzz on 97.5KFAR.com, 660 AM. I'm your co-host, Joe Hatchie. I'm here with my brother, Sam Hatchie.
Good afternoon, Alaska. This is Sam, and we're sitting here with Daniel Peters from Good Sense, one of the pioneers of the Alaskan industry. Really excited to hear his story and what he's got coming up for our little fair town here. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the invite.
Awesome, man. I'm super excited to have you here. So let's just jump right into it, Dan. What brought you to Alaska in the first place, huh?
My father was an aircraft mechanic, and he got a job available to him in Bethel, and I went over to the West Coast with him, lived there, my mom, him, and I for two and a half years, and from there we moved over to Fairbanks.
Awesome. Yeah.
Since I was 15, I've been here, and I met my wife when I was 18, and we got married right afterwards.
I love that. You guys are, how many kids do you guys have now?
Four total.
Nice. How's the family life and the cannabis industry? It's kind of hard being an entrepreneur and making time for them, or are you guys carve out a good amount of time?
There's something to be said about spending the right amount of time and balancing your family and your work life.
Yeah.
I worked real hard beforehand as in the construction industry, and I missed out on a lot of my young kids' stuff. And then I got the chance to have a second set of kids a little bit later, 12 years down the road. And these two I make sure to spend a lot more time with, and I'm more balanced in my life. So
I love that. I'm sure
they appreciate that, too.
Hope so.
So running a construction company pre-cannabis, what made you make that transition into the cannabis industry while you're building construction and...
Well, even prior to construction, you know, Danielle and I, when we got married, we were not making a lot of money yet. I didn't have my own business. I was working at the airport loading aircraft, and we had been growing a little bit at home just to help supplement our needs, you know, and I... one day was down trimming, and when you're trimming, and I'm sure you can attest to this, your mind just wanders into this place somewhere akin to meditation, I feel like. And you may even catch yourself talking to yourself out loud at some point, you know, because you're so engrossed in what you're doing and you're all alone. Yeah. And I out loud said to myself, it would be so great if I could just do this freely and I wouldn't have to worry about anybody busting me down or giving me any trouble or trying to take away my children or anything like that. If I didn't have that worry right now, I could make a store where a person could come and buy it, you know, and it was just a complete dream.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, as a young man and me writing it off like some kind of fantasy, like, yeah, right, okay. Uh-huh. But here we are today.
Have a store that people can come buy weed at.
Yeah. Two. I'm across the table from two people that are also got a store. Great. I mean, this is incredible stuff.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So fast forward into, you were the first 10 licensed in the state, the top three in Fairbanks. And so with that open in that first month, I mean, everything happened so fast. And as soon as the product came available, it was really kind of just a staggered open for the first couple of 6-8 months, maybe even a year for retail shops as they had product, become available for sale on the wholesale market. What were some crazy things you did back then? Because you were building your grow, but you opened your retail first. What were you doing to like procure product and what were your, you know, what was your plan then?
Well, so we did actually open the cultivation first, and then the month later we got our retail open. And the original plan on paper at home on the couch was just to grow as much weed as possible in whatever space I could possibly afford with whatever money I could possibly shed from this construction business I had. And then it would be just sold out of my little retail just for, you know, the simplicity of it in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. I had no idea what it would end up looking like.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, well, you know, you did open your grow first, but the product wasn't available for the open of your market.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, yeah, it takes time and everything. Yeah. And the strange thing was that we were open on our first retail opening with Rosie Creek Farms, which...
Shout out to Mike Emmers out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You know, you got to get him on this show. He's great.
Oh, yeah.
So Mike sells me the pre-rolls that he's got, and they're in that small, beautiful little box that he makes up, you know. And I'm selling these things, low THC, and that's like the only thing we got. And it was, and people are in buying them just because, you know, it's historic.
Yeah.
And little known fact maybe about Mike and that particular product was that that was the first cannabis to be grown in Alaska legally for trade.
Oh,
that first batch.
Yeah.
And when he had the boxes made, there was a spelling error on the box.
It's just like one of those sideways pennies.
Yeah, cannabis was misspelled.
Cannabis.
Of all the things, yeah, unfortunately. So his fix on that was to put a sticker over it that was spelled correctly, yeah. and he did do that. And then future packaging obviously was corrected. Mm-hmm. Well, I bought as many as I could because I knew that this is a collector's item.
Yeah.
And I was selling it to people in my retail as a collector's item. I was physically working the counter trying to sell them on this 12% weed. It's like a half a joint. And I'm like, well, but what you don't know is that cannabis is misspelled on this. And
I'm trying to
convince them that this is the very first weed that was ever legally, you know, one of these days on the American Roadshow or whatever future, they're going to be like, hey, well, this is the first weed ever cultivated in Alaska. And so I think that's a great story that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah,
and,
no, that's great. Yeah, that is a piece of history and a memorabilia.
And like, if people out there are listening and they have one of those packages that's unsealed and has got the thing in it, I would love to take my picture with you. So good for you. You rocked. You listened to me, and I bet it's worth like $10,000 right now.
Well, how can they contact you?
Good through the radio station, and they could... And my email, yeah, goodsense@yahoo.com.
goodsense@yahoo.com, mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Yeah, email Dan if you got one of those boxes. Oh, that's awesome. So as one of the pioneers, like one of the fun things that we've all had to deal with regulations in AMCO is how do you deal with your waste, your plant waste?
Interestingly, I was approved to do my pig waste or my cannabis waste into my pig feed. So we had been raising pigs in the neighborhood for, already 2 years prior to us getting open. And I just wanted to do something a little bit different when it came to waste, and the board was going to meet in Fairbanks, so I thought, well, I'm going to throw this one at them and see what they think, you know, and they were fine with it, and I got a funny comment that maybe I was going to have to test my pork chops. But they were surely just joking, and so at any rate, I ended up doing that, and I found out very quickly they don't like the weed unless it's flower waste.
Really?
So, yeah, I would try to give them all the vegetative and stuff, and they'd stomp it around and root through it and try to figure out how to get it out of their feed bin. And then whenever it was flower waste, they really enjoy that. So,
just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 and 660 AM and KFARradio.com.
Yeah, man, you ought to get them tested for terpenes or something, you know.
The flower waste is a little sweeter, I would assume.
Yeah.
I bet so.
Has more flavor. I mean, well, the vegetative, like I've eaten leaves before, and they're just bitter. It's just bitter greens. Like it's sour, not anything
bitter.
Anything good. They're almost like akin to like a mustard green or like that arugula. You know, like arugula, maybe that's what it tastes like. But flowering plants, I mean, I always thought it was kind of fun, and people kind of look at me weird, but they taste different depending on their cycle and how old they are, and when they're closer to when you harvest them, their terpenes change. You can clip off a leaf and just touch that to your tongue, and it's tannins, you know, it dries your tongue out, and it's just so interesting to see how it changes taste throughout the plant, you know. But so what's after you got your retail open and your cultivation is banging and selling product, what was the next step there for Daniel Peters in Good Sense?
Oh man, after we got all that going, I just thought that the world's my oyster. I'm going to open all this different stuff, and I had great huge ideas that take time and money that I didn't have. And reality quickly checked me back into where I was really at, and so we went ahead with a lot of plans that had to sit, and then thankfully that is good in a lot of ways. Sometimes when you have more time to elaborate on a plan perhaps, and you find out that building out certain things doesn't work exactly like you thought it might, so maybe now we need to revisit this instead of throwing all my money like right into one thing quickly and finding out, oh no, there's a huge issue now that we have to come around. You know, I had more space and time to think that over, but it was definitely manufacturing on the mind. I knew that edibles were a huge thing. You know, small shout out to Frozen Buds and the way that they expanded like crazy. I mean, they had some issues and went down hard, but they definitely hit the market good, and you could tell that that was something that the crowds really wanted. I knew that that's where we were headed eventually. And I also had a good friend who was into extractions for a long time and had been doing closed loop hydrocarbon and was doing a really nice job with it. And so I wanted him to help me. I knew that he wouldn't possibly have done it completely alone. And so I thought, this is, you know, my honor to you, to my help you as my friend, to ladder up on this thing, and we can be, you know, doing real good work together. Unfortunately, he didn't end up able to help me out at the lab. But, you know, it's been a hell of a ride.
Oh, man.
Well, Alaska's pretty neat because it allows you, one company, to vertically integrate. So you can have multiple licenses in, you know, manufacturing, cultivation, retail, things like that. There's other stores out, or sorry, other states out there that only allow you to have one license. So the monopoly or the chance for a monopoly dwindles. But out here, you know, you have the little tiny villages and things like that. They have to be self-sufficient. If you can't get deliveries up there, you have to be able to grow it, sell it, manufacture it, whatever you have to do. It's really neat. It's really neat. I love it here.
So kind of touching on that, where's the furthest away? So cultivated product did you get in your store? I admire you. You're really a hunter throughout. There's close to 250 cultivation standard or limited or some ridiculous number now. And I love that you love strains, and I love that you just hunt for stuff. And where's some cool little gems you found from limited guys around that they can find in your shop?
So Snowcap Gardens was high on our list to begin with, putting out good product all the time. That Bowser hit our store shelves, and it just hasn't stopped. As often as I can get the Bowser in, I do, because we've got quite the following for it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, plenty of other small guys that came along, and they've come and gone, and things change. One of the larger guys that I'd like to just shout out to is John Guest and Guest Services.
Yep, Guest Services, yeah.
I mean, he puts out some fire.
Choice like, extracts.
Yep, they do great. I mean, just I could probably go on and on with all the really good guys that we got going on at this point. When we first started, though, you knew, you didn't know who was who or what was what. I ended up finding John by buying some herb and Canabasca, I think I was in, and I just ended up randomly picking out certain ones and smoked on it. And I was like, good Lord, this guy, he should have a standard if he's not already. And luckily he was.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So along with expanding your business, what is it like working? So you're on Pegger and Davis, and you are just outside of the city?
No, excuse me.
You're inside of the city because you're on this side of Davis.
Yeah, so, just on the inside of the city limits. Yeah.
Yep. And how was that dealing with the city council or some potential neighbors and any kind of like breaking of taboo when we first opened, you know, all those years ago? People were pretty scared about what it meant to have cannabis in this industry. And I'm going to have to have to break for just a short commercial, brother. Take it over, and we'll let you think about that one.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll answer all that. You're listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio.
The Buzz will return on KFAR Radio right after this word from our sponsors.
Great deals all week at the Tanana Herb Company. Munchy Mondays with 15% off all edibles. Trainwreck Tuesdays get you $20 six-pack boxes. Don't miss Thirsty Thursdays, 100 milligram hash-aid drinks for just $20. Funky Friday with bongo half off. How about Shatter Saturdays? Gets you 20% off Frogman and Choice Extracts. Sunday Funday, you'll find Old Deli strains for just $10 a gram. Only at the Tanana Herb Company's all-new retail store. From cultivation to manufacturing to retail. All under one giant 50,000 square foot roof. That's Tanana Herb Company. Open 7 days a week off Wells Street. License number 14467. Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or heavy machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
We now return to The Buzz on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Alaska. You're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 KFAR Radio and 660 AM. My name is Joe Hatchie. I'm here with my brother Sam Hatchie and Dan Peters in the studio.
Hey, guys. Right before the break, I kind of asked Dan a loaded question here, but really what I wanted to... I love asking this question to all entrepreneurs, especially if they had other businesses and then they get into the business of cannabis. So some of the expectations and surprises you did through the whole licensing process and getting all these licenses, you know, operating. What was some of your expectations?
Like I said, I'd run a construction company, Rebel House Construction, prior, and you go through the state for some of that licensing as mm-hmm. well, and there's recurring training that's required and insurance and things of that nature. So in doing all of that and getting my residential endorsement, there was a lot of state activity over their website and paying them and getting licensing.
Yeah,
I felt like the licensing would be identical.
That was the expectation?
Yep. The expectation was that they would have their ducks in a row, I would fill out the paperwork correctly, and when everything was all said and done, I would have a business license in hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reality was?
Not everyone had any idea of what to do with mm-hmm. anything at all. It feels to me a lot of times back in those early times when we were just getting going that almost nobody did any research. Nobody mm-hmm. had any idea what to write down as far as any kind of ideas, you know, they were just
what to regulate. Like we just it's interesting to see back then what it is now. Wild West back in the day, if you were inside of an incorporated area or outside of an incorporated area, a governing body would be different. For instance, we're in the city, so then we would have to go to the city fire marshal and building department and file building permits and get everything like we would in any other normal business or any, but if you're outside of the borough and you're in a general use area, you can build a cultivation and send the fire marshal in Anchorage a line drawing to say what you're building is building. And then that's it. It's just a rubber stamp, and then you go ahead and build. There's more oversight now, thankfully. But back in the day, just like you said, like there's such a different amount of oversight and confusion on like what they wanted to regulate and what they didn't want to regulate. Like I brought up the waste earlier. We got an AMCO notification. Thank the goodness. We used to so we record the waste off every plant, right? We prune the plant, harvest the plant, record all the waste, have a hard log of it. We then have to report that via the metric reporting system to assign that waste. Well, we had an additional step onto that where we had to then make digital copies of those and then email it off to AMCO and then hold our waste in a corner for 3 days. So, like, sure, it's a little bit more paperwork, but, like, AMCO itself is receiving 500 emails, 600 emails a week on, you know, redundant reporting that's already in the one system. So that's cool. They got rid of the clerical side. But I'm really excited that we don't have to necessarily hold our waste for 3 days anymore. That, like, if anybody has ever had yard debris or refuse and you put it in a bag in a corner in the shop for 3 days, like, that's kind of gross. And it gets, like, soupy and, you know, contaminants, and it's not that good. And so, you know, just as examples of, like, where our industry has come in that when you got your second shop off of college over there, was that easier? Or, you know, like tell us about that process when you stepped into that spot.
Oh, yeah, by far. There was already an existing cannabis business there prior. And mm-hmm. so I knew it had met all the regulation standards.
Uh-huh.
we moved forward and things were a breeze.
Nice.
Where I would have showed up to every single borough meeting prior and
yep.
Everything leading up to it in the city. Now the borough was able to adjourn on it without me necessarily having any mm-hmm. comment, you know, where they would expect me to show up every single time and answer yeah. questions that they had. And they weren't very well educated on growing, particularly, which, you know, that is where we had a lot of issues with the waste and that, and people having questions. And I think retail they understood pretty well.
Yeah,
it's just
it's a packaged product for sale.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 KFAR Radio and 660 AM.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited the way our industry's going. Where do you see it in the next five to 10 years? Or where do you see Good Sense? You want to maybe it's on-site consumption, multiple stores? Do you want to branch out? Or are you pretty? What's going on in the head of Dan? Huh?
Well, as I said before, I've definitely launched lots of projects at once. I think it's just finishing them all and having them all complete will make me satisfied.
Nice.
So we've achieved three out of the four things that I set out to do. The fourth is on-site consumption.
All right.
If anyone is paying attention to the history of Alaska and the cannabis industry, they'd know that I was the very first to be approved for on-site. I did it because I wanted to be historic. I knew that I didn't have the money to finish it. I knew that I wasn't even sure if I wanted it. It seems like a hassle to have a bunch of people around and trying to serve them all the time. It's already a hassle. The ones that come now, and I love them all, but it's some, you know, as any retail worker knows, it is work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's work.
So at any rate, I've been holding off with that to finish it up, but I anticipate by the summer, maybe the fall of next year, I'm going to have something built that's really great. That's what I want, and not something rushed that's not what I want.
Nice. Nice, I can dig that. Dan, you're a plant guy. You love plants. This is what you said you started with. So you do any in-house breeding or phenos or cracking seeds? What are you excited for coming up?
Oh, absolutely. So originally when we first started up, we had Cookies Kush, which was one mm-hmm. of my favorites and was great yielder, fantastic taste and everything. I'd grown it at home for a few years.
Yeah.
The seeds originally came from Barney's in Amsterdam.
Barney Farms, yeah. An old breeder, yeah, forever.
And they were great. And so I've just been holding on to some more seeds that we finally cracked again of the Cookies Kush.
Nice.
Going through many different phenos when you first open up as a business, you're wanting bigger yields and higher THC because it seemed that the customers were shopping in that direction. So we're hunting out better and better strains. And, you know, come back to the old school stuff eventually and say, this is what I liked smoking. And I think other people like smoking. So I'm putting it out again. And I'm super excited for that. I just did a breeding project at home and worked through 50 seeds of this Cookies Kush that I had bred with itself originally, you know. And then I've got all these others that are going on, some side stuff, Tiger Tail and Grapefruit. Those are both great strains. Brady's Grapefruit, that's what I'd like to call it. I got the seeds from my buddy Brady. That's the only reason, but he's
shout out to Brady.
It was damn good, so you know it's worth it. And at any rate, those are the three that I'm up and coming with right now. I try not to go too wild with seeds. I find that you can get overwhelmed pretty quickly.
It's a page out of our book. We got we crack too many seeds. I got a couple of seed junkies that work with us upstairs, and that's just what they like to do. They just like to peel through phenos. But then we get like test results back, and like one is like a mid 20s and tastes and looks great, but then like the other one is just like an outlier, like high 20s or low 30s, but it doesn't really, like, it's just kind of looks like regular weed. And then you're just like twisting your arm, you know, you crack 50 phenos of this Cookie Kush, like you gotta pick one. Like, which one do you pick?
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's crazy. So how can people get a hold of you? Where are your stores located, Dan?
So we're on 29 College Road, which is the newest store, and then of course the old school store at 2604 Davis Road.
Nice.
Davis has been our main store for 4 years, and the newest store, been in operation for a little over about one and a half years there.
Nice.
And that's right by REI.
Yeah, in the same little spot.
So do you wholesale any products for your manufacturing or your flower through the rest of the state?
Yep, we're starting to sell our manufactured items out in Anchorage and Juneau, Sitka.
Nice.
I am looking to sell them in Bethel.
All right.
Because having lived there, I'd be excited to have my products out there. Otuvik, and we're going to also end up in as many other small places as they're willing to let us, because I want to get our branding out there as good as possible. And, I know you're worried about national legalization and things of that nature as well. You know, you want to establish a good brand. I want Alaska to know that Good Sense is where to find the good.
Yeah, I can dig that. The Good Sense. Yeah, national legalization. I think that's another half an hour show for a different time. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what actually pans out. You know, everybody's got what they think is going to happen. I think that what I really want is tax normalcy. You know, like, to get rid of the 280E and all the other nonsense, and then let us all function like normal businesses, like other normal businesses. And I think federal legalization will have a lesser local impact than I think a lot of people believe. That's what, at least I hope. That's what I'm driving towards.
Abolish 280E.
Abolish 280E.
If you don't know about 280E IRS tax code, please look it up. It's interesting reading.
Yes. It makes us not take advantage of normal tax write-offs and cost of goods sold through our business, which normal companies could, which is kind of lame. But I digress. Dan Peters from Good Sense, man. Say hi to your wife for me in a most polite and friendly manner. Love Danielle, known her for a long time. And thank you so much. Do you want to tell Radioland out there a little bit? Anything you want to tell them, buddy?
Oh, I'll end with a great story of how we met.
Oh, you know, I didn't mention your guys were the second people we had sold to, and carry, you know.
Yeah.
But go ahead, sorry.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we were attending AMIA together, you, me, and a friend of mine, Mid Toker. I don't know if you know him.
Remember Mid?
He is probably still running a podcast out there, doing great, I'm sure. And we show up there, and it got into a after session, I think. We were talking with Bub from Blooms there.
Yep.
And next thing I know, we're discussing business, of course, and you guys had weed, I had money, and I thought, what the hell? What a perfect combination here, you know? And luckily, we did that day. I mean, I considered not going to that AMIA meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did.
Me too.
Glad I met you. And we did business together, and people love Tanana Herb Company weed.
Thank you, Dan.
100%
thank
do.
You, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank
and you. And you guys kept on rocking it long time and obviously still rocking it. So I appreciate you being a part of our success.
Yeah.
And I also really appreciate you putting me on the air here today. And it's been sweet talking to you.
No, thanks. Vice versa. Thanks for buying it.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a chance to get to Anchorage. And so we were trying to sell it locally at that point, you know, and we were just a small little grower, you know.
Yeah.
So
a little 1500 square foot, nothing.
Well, thanks, Dan, for coming in. We'll have to have you on again for sure. Definitely before the on-site consumption starts up.
Yep. Sounds great.
Thank you so much for joining us again. You're listening to 97.5 KFAR Radio, 660 AM, and you can listen live at kfarradio.com.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at kfarradio.com. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company on Well Street. License number 14467. To listen back to this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the KFAR website. This has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active and KFAR Radio.